Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did it, but I will say, I think Rose was premeditating your numbers, Tim, and coming in very tight.
No, that's what I do on our normal ones, because you're always telling me that I'm fucking slow.
Hello and welcome along to a very special...
Sorry. Can you do that again?
I reckon leave that one in. Tim, don't hide your face, man. This is what it is, okay?
Do it again.
This is your life's work. Can you believe it? When you die, this is what people will remember you for.
Episode 5 of the Rob Schneider Overlooked and Undercooked Asian Mama Mexican Kids Once Daily, Once Weekly Comedy Review. I'm Guy Montgomery. I'm joined as always by Tim Batt, and we have two very special guests with us today. They are the ladies of our boners of our hearts, Rose Mutafeo and Alice Sneddon. Welcome along. How are you both?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Awesome.
Didn't Guy do a good job on that introduction? Because I feel like our brains are broken, but it was like the second he got into it, he just, boom.
He's a professional broadcaster.
Are you watching this special every day, are you?
For a week, yeah.
For a week? Wow.
We've seen it five times now.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Jeez, okay, cool.
How many times have you guys seen it?
Just the once, actually.
Just the once, and barely, to be honest. I mean, I don't know how you want to structure this, but do we just start talking about it?
I'm pretty done with it.
I have to fully admit, I kind of zoned out more. It became almost like a meditation podcast in the sense how much I was relaxed and zoning out. Like it did the exact opposite of what I think what the intention was to engage me, and instead it calmed me and relaxed me in that it felt like white noise.
Yeah. Well, in fairness to you, it's extremely hard to stay concentrated for a full 44 minutes.
44 gorgeous minutes.
Only 39 of those are comedy, mind.
I reckon 39 is generous.
Generous as. So we've got a couple of theories. So I don't know, I guess all the listeners will be well-versed in this because they probably have watched it as well. But so you thought he started quite strong. I agree.
Oh, okay, well, please don't put words in my mouth, but I did,
say that.
But I only said that after you said about 5 minutes in, it's not bad yet.
Yeah, it's not bad yet. At 5 minutes in, I would fully stand by that. It wasn't bad yet. And then almost as if on cue, he then went into a line about, he did an impression of his wife and then in a Mexican accent, and then he said, she's not Mexican, but it's fun to do the accent.
Yeah. Clarification, is his wife Mexican?
Super duper.
Okay, all right. Okay, interesting. So that was just a joke.
Oh my God, it was a joke. Okay.
It was a joke.
So let's touch on accents.
Shall we?
Because
that's what the discussion we were having.
Rob Schneider is not afraid to, and nor should we be.
He has empowered us all, if anything, to use any accent we want. No, Alice asked a... Do you want to ask your question?
Yeah, the question I asked was, if you're of Asian descent, does that mean that you can do any accent from any Asian country? What are the rules?
I was talking to my new flatmate about this because he's a Filipino Kiwi, and we sort of didn't answer this question, but I was like, did you even know that Rob Schneider is Filipino? Like, is he Filipino's forgotten son? And he was like, no one knows that Rob Schneider is Filipino. He has never like claimed his heritage out loud. He has never kind of said the word the Philippines in any media that he's made. Like, this is a brand new thing for him.
This would make the fantastic Asian Mama, Mexican Kids. Mm. And if you didn't get the title, guys, I just want to explain it. His mama, she is Asian. But his kids, well, they're Mexican.
How does that work?
I don't know. But all I'm saying is if what Ethan has said is true and that he hasn't really made reference to his heritage previous to this special, this is his coming out party. And doesn't he come out and have a lot of fun with his heritage? I mean, I don't
but
know.
But not
that...
even really specifically his heritage, other Asian minority heritage.
Yeah, yeah. He never does a Filipino kind of, apart from his mum.
Yeah, he does his mum.
He does Korean and Chinese.
Those are his...
I feel like he to really, say all of this is to suggest there's a level of nuance in his accent work which I have not detected. I'm not drawing huge it's like an impressionist saying, "This is George Bush. Hi, I'm George Bush." And then, and now I'll do my iconic Al Gore. It's me, Al Gore.
I'm not going to defend the reasons why he does the accents, but I will defend the accents.
I agree.
Because I honestly do think there actually is nuance in between them.
Yeah.
And he does think about those quite hard.
I'm not saying that I agree that he should be doing the accents, but in terms of the quality with which he performs them, I'd say those are some of his strengths.
Yeah.
And doesn't he know it? He commits 15 minutes of time in the special to it. I can't get past the idea that this is material that he was cutting up with on the schoolyard, and he's insulated or coddled or successful enough that he's never had to do anything else, never had to learn anything else. And so it's like he's finally got the special. You're not going to not commit to tape your best material across 50 years of...
Well, where do you think... how many specials has he done?
He had a first one on Netflix.
He had like a breakout HBO special apparently in the late 80s, early 90s that kind of helped him get SNL, that launched the Rob Schneider we know. But outside of that, I don't think between like, say, 1990 and now, he's not put out comedy. I actually don't think he's been performing comedy. I don't think...
No.
Like, he's got the sort of...
We can't tell.
He's got the presence or confidence of someone who... believes that they can do it, but like it's not a cohesive presentation.
What he has, which I actually like the most about his performance style, is that level of self, like the insecure level of it, where you can see it. And if you do comedy, I think it might be naked to the
civilian eye.
but to bore down into his soul, you can see these hints of deep sadness and sort of like going, oh my god, should I be here? Like, do I deserve this? Is this material good enough? Am I losing them? And you can feel that, and that is actually the most compelling element of the special.
I know you've only seen it once, but can you remember any moments where like you really got the sense that Rob was feeling all at sea and needed to quickly grab a life raft of a Asian locality to send up?
Well, no, because I think so much of it was just like, I mean, American comedians particularly possess this utter confidence in whatever they're saying is important or, I mean, good or a good enough quality to, you know.
And God bless for that.
And God bless them. And that's how they've got to today. And
that's why the country's doing so well.
Yeah, those darling sweeties. And there were moments of humanity, I think, where he genuinely laughed at something. There was like one moment. There was one moment.
There is one moment where he sincerely laughs at what's happening.
Yeah. Which one is it? It's the...
I've got it written down somewhere.
Oh, no. It's when he puts the microphone up his top and he makes it look like a boner. And then he goes, oh, that looked awful.
Yeah,
that
he does
was
enjoy
the
that.
Moment of humanity. No, but that was the moment of humanity where he goes, "Oh man, oh."
I think he's visibly hating it. I think it's one of the most joyless performances.
No, I disagree. I disagree. I actually think that he was loving it. And I will say this though, but I do feel like his insecurity got the better of him, and there's a clear turning point in the show when he brings out the piano player. Yeah. I think that's a sign that that is a man who has lost his confidence, because it doesn't even feel like that was a pre-planned decision. It feels like that's something where he's gone, I'm going to have the piano on stage, and if I need it, like I'm not sure we're going to do it, but if I feel that we need it, then let's engage the piano player.
I'll have a pianist on standby.
Creating a special where you have You know how De La Marina is famous for coming on stage with he's got like a glass of red water and a cup of coffee and a cup of tea? If you hit that with just
the red water
show accoutrement, so like the red white. Oh, what did I say?
Red water.
Red water.
the sweet red water.
Red water.
This little sweet boy doesn't want to believe anyone's drinking alcohol on stage.
Absolutely.
What's that
not?
Sweet little raspberry drink he's got?
He's got that burgundy cordial.
Do you know, it's such an odd choice to have red wine on stage, I reckon.
Really? Why?
Fuck cool. Yeah.
He's kind of black.
Because I don't really like have a sip of red wine and feel like hydrated or ready to go. Or like, I have a sip of red wine and I go, okay, it's time for TV. Like, it's not a performance drink.
God, you've never ever said, okay, it's time for TV. I've never seen you sup on that gorgeous claret and announce to the room, okay, it's time for TV. Well,
watch out, because it's going to start happening.
Let's turn on the boob tube and let's see what's going on.
I love your idea that Rob Schneider is confident in doing this to the point that he can go out there and start without any support. But then is also so insecure that he has a pianist on standby, his daughter on standby, a string quartet on standby. And like, what else do we think Rob Schneider has waiting in the wings? What unused props and sort of escape routes?
Well, that's why the daughter, first of all, was so reluctant to sing with him, because she knew that she was only kind of come out if it went bad and he ran short. So that's why she's like coming out and she's like, oh, Dad, I'm sorry it didn't work out, you know?
I reckon they had Kevin Nealon with a shepherd's crook side of stage ready to pull off him and his daughter, his whole family.
I think they had a video from Adam Sandler of a message wishing him well that they were going to chuck out on a projector.
If he had anything to do with it, if Adam Sandler had provided any materials for that special, you know that they would be in the special.
Yeah, oh, Adam true. Sandler demanded he pay for the cameo.
I reckon that Rob Schneider wanted to do a tribute to Chris Farley, but then he saw Adam Sandler's one and he was like, fuck. All right,
he had to can his at the last minute.
Yeah.
Were they tight? Oh, no, it was Spade, right? Spade and he were real tight.
Yeah. I mean,
Spade,
he was probably adjacent.
Spade should do a special just so he can dine out on that, maybe.
Spade should have been there for his friend. I reckon Rob Schneider definitely invited David Spade, and David Spade didn't show up to the record.
Oh, I thought you meant that David Spade should have been there for Farley and, like, not let him die.
Oh, God. That would have been... Jesus Christ. No, no. God bless David Spade. I think we've got the same birthday, actually. But I have a theory about the pianist, and that is... This is my madcap conspiracy theory, right? But I think the pianist... Because I was like, God, that's going to be a nightmare for editing, surely. With the special. So I reckon it was that Rob Schneider knew that he was going to go under, knew that he did not have enough material for an hour long stand-up special, running at 40, a tight 44, including a fucking song, so 39. So he knew that this elongated piece of routine, they didn't want any cuts to it, so he purposely brought on the piano so they couldn't cut around it. Otherwise, it would have been a nightmare for audio continuity.
That is completely what's happened. You're a genius.
Do you reckon?
Absolutely.
I
can't remember who it was, but I remember reading there was a comic who used to do that, who like had musical accompaniment for his specials for that exact reason. So they couldn't edit around it. I definitely think that's what's happened.
I think it's true. I think because it's his weaker portion.
His weaker portion is the middle 20 minutes. Yeah. Of a 44
minute special. Can I throw
something
at you two, which is not on the special, but something we figured out so, consequentially? I read an article about Rob Schneider's wife,
awesome.
And I did the math, and it turns out they met when he was 41 and she was 17.
Okay, first of all, that's cool and legit. Next question.
Is it those legit?
Those were my two questions, Alex.
Is it legal?
Is that cool? And is it legit?
Is it legal?
It's legal. 16 is the age of consent, isn't it?
Yeah, then fine.
Not in America.
Yeah.
Not in most states.
18.
Most states, it's 18.
Well, did he meet her in Mexico or America, and are the ages of consent different in each country?
I'm going to assume, yeah, it depends what state you're in. I think California might be 16, though.
Is it legal? That's a question mark. Is it legit? Hell yeah, my brother.
41 and 17. I can't get past it.
And we want that to be reflected in legislation. Okay? It's legit. It's too legit to quit, and we need that supported by
the
law.
Podcast becomes a big supporter of lowering the age of consent to 16, just so that Rob Schneider can live
for
in
the
peace.
Record, that will be earmarked as the episode that you two appeared on is when we started driving for this change.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Alice, you dismissed the second half of the special as the weaker half. I sort of have it divided into the first half as all of his great accent work and sort of racial observations. And then the second half...
Don't forget molesting his mother-in-law.
Well, it's... I know.
Oh, but yeah, that bit was a real highlight. And can I tell you, I genuinely enjoyed that bit because I worried that the punchline of the joke was going to be that it was his daughter. So from that sense, I was absolutely relieved.
The bar Rob Schneider has to clear. It's not molesting his daughter.
Yeah. Well, because he'd done a bit previously about his daughter sleeping in his bed. So I was like, oh no, here we go. This is going to be some dark shit.
Do you know, actually, this is a positive I drew from the special today, is that I really quite admired his physicality of his 7-year-old daughter, you know, arguing her case to get into their bed because of her nightmare.
I thought that was a strong bit from Rob. I thought,
yeah,
man, you guys have got a totally different take. You're giving him a lot of props for different jokes here. Can you maybe walk me through your top three Rob Schneider bits, and then one bit that you thought was either just unacceptable or no good?
I liked the dinosaur bit with the kid. This is all relative to the other material in the special. Let it be known.
This is not
ranking it as compared to other comedians and their jokes. I'm purely ranking it as compared to other jokes within the special. What did you say to me?
I think you should compare it to other jokes and other people. You know.
Oh well, I'm not going to do that. The see what happens from the mountain.
Agreed. Yeah.
Do you know why that joke works? I've been thinking about that, because the premise that exists inside of is garbage, is nothing, but it works because the mic technique is really strong, and also it's like...
Really strong.
The bit is reminiscent of what you would see in sort of a Rob Schneider-esque early 2000s comedy, where it's like, you can actually visualize it, it's quite a cinematic joke.
It's quite Jackass, Happy Gilmore vibes, you know, in that physicality.
I did not enjoy the bit, but I liked the gall to take on the Me Too movement.
Underscored by the piano. So
the
that they can't,
yeah, the
they can't
to take on
his
the
words,
Me Too
they can't change anything he says. He says, bring the piano out, I've got some shit to get off my chest.
Yeah. I enjoyed that. I was like, someone's got to speak to this, you know?
The pig potential bit is so devastating to me because it, like... There's a level of self-awareness that Rob Schneider has about what a piece of shit he is, which is fine and groovy and cool. But it's the fact that he projects it onto the entirety of the male jet. He's like, well, everyone sucks as much as I do. It's like, I was with you and now you've lost me.
This is my boy. Hashtag not all men. Tim Bat.
It is honestly so dire, though, to think that... I mean, that is how his brain probably works. Like, you're either an uggo or a hottie.
Yeah.
And that will... How he treats you will depend on that.
Well, you know what this is, though? Okay, so I think this is a condition of... I mean, I'd say, in my stand-up, I feel similar in that it's a contradiction in terms to announce that you're a piece of shit and announce that self-awareness, but then later in the special or later in a show then start to say, like, just and make these hot takes as if anything you say as a piece of shit it's illogical. Do you know what I mean? Like, to believe that these things are important or true, or you're making these universal sort of inarguable statements when really you're a piece of shit.
If he did it in the reverse order as well, that works way better, because it's like he's coming out speaking truth to power in a way that only Rob Schneider can, but then slowly like kind of devolves into vulnerability. But this is just like, I have no credibility, and now here's what I think about the world.
There are some logical inconsistencies in his point of view on the world, because his opening bit is about how disinterested he is in sex, and then throughout the special he is bemoaning the fact that his wife won't have sex with him.
Can I speak
to this?
So
I was like, what do
this?
You want? You know, do you want sex or do you not want sex? Because the message is unclear.
I think that... His idea of what men want and what women want in relationships is, you know, like what women like want relationships, men want sex. Very common kind of, you know, take, especially in comedy and stuff. And it's always this really depressing take of these men who are, and I it hasn't clicked to me until today. All of these men talk about these women who are, don't, there's this idea that women don't want sex, and sex is a nuisance to them, and they want other things. But I've realized that it's that no one has ever wanted to have sex with Rob Schneider, and I think that's his experience, is that he's never gone for a woman who really wants to have sex with him. So he's constantly in this holding pattern of constantly going for these women who are perhaps unattainable or physically or aesthetically are maybe considered more attractive than him, and more beautiful. So he's constantly like, you know, shooting for the stars and then getting these women who are kind of almost repulsed by him. And so his entire idea of like sex is this warped kind of form of it. And what he needs to do is find someone who would be fucking stoked with having sex with Rob Schneider. But it's because he has been poisoned by the ideals of beauty and the expectations, especially particularly in America, of what attractiveness is, and he'll never be happy and never have like that positive sexual experience. So
this is such a generous read on what has created Rob Schneider.
Maybe it's generous. Maybe it's too generous.
This is like the Joker level. Society is the real villain of the Rob
Schneider
special.
Yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I'm a men's rights activist.
No,
shit.
No. I think there was a real melancholy that I saw in that. I think your point can be true, and Rob Schneider can still be a piece of shit.
Totally, I agree.
I totally agree with the idea that, like, because it touches all of his material, and his outlook is like, it is this binary, men, love, sex. He loves titties. He loves, you know, all of that stuff,
except when they're in the way of bloody cookies.
Can we also explore the logic of that bit? It's been driving me nuts. He says, "I'm at an age now." I couldn't believe this was his opener. I'm at an age now where I'm more interested in cookies than sex. Goes, what's that cookie? And then he enters some sort of contract with someone. He says, what's that cookie underneath your tit? Yeah, two of the cookies under your tit, please, thank you. Where is he getting these cookies? Who is he talking to?
Wait, I have zero idea. And I don't think I fully realize. In my mind, the cookies were on like a kitchen island bench, and a woman was naked in front of them, and he was asking her to move out of the way. But I did not realize that they were like under her breast, which is an enormous pair of breasts in order to fit like a. I
could put one of those ones, you know, the Cookie Time sells in the boxes for charity at Christmas.
There are many ones. I reckon I get a full Afghan under there.
I get a
full size Cookie Time under my right, and then a few little charity ones under
or
my left.
Maybe an airplane one, the ones that they give you on the plane.
Yeah, just so we definitely get an airplane cookie
for
under
our
my breast.
International listeners, an Afghan is a biscuit in New Zealand that I don't think exists anywhere outside of Australia.
Oh, shit. It really doesn't.
That's a legit thing to call it, though, right? Isn't it?
Yes,
absolutely.
Because of the,
I've looked into it. Afghan hound.
Okay, all right, sick. All right. Oof. Yeah. Fuck, it's always a close call, isn't it?
It is.
Biscuits and titties. It's a strong way to open a show.
Love to our Afghan community.
Alice has come on here championing lowering the age of consent and just throwing around... inspired by Rob, perhaps, all sorts of crazy colloquial terms for biscuits and people.
I will say this about the special. It makes me, as a mostly gay woman, depressed at the thought of having a wife. Because they just sound awful.
Yeah, always like, ask me to get a glass of water.
They sound so bad. I've never watched a special and walked away from it going like, can't wait to have a wife. That's what makes me want to be straight or just like pursue that path more.
Within the special, when he's trying to paint his wife and indeed all women as these intolerable shrews who just try and trap you in a relationship so that they can suffer through it, his wife comes across as somewhat of a sympathetic character. Like, his wife, in his jokes where he's bad-mouthing his wife, she's doing so much of the domestic work around the house. She's, like, getting the kids ready for the party, providing for the party. He is self-aware enough to be like, he's on his phone the whole party. This is her reason for not wanting to have sex with him, which is, like, she has to articulate a reason instead of saying, I don't want to have sex with you because I find you repulsive and this entire relationship is a nightmare for me. It's just, it's crazy the way that he sways and falls over both sides of self-awareness, where it's like, if he could actually leave his body and his experience of the world and see the version of himself that he's presenting, I think he would understand how unlikable he is. But instead he's inside of it, and so he's like presenting all this information as though he's actually a charming cad who's just like,
this is my, he's so close to getting it. And this is what I was trying to articulate before, is that if he stopped short at universalizing what a piece of shit he is to everyone else, there, that's the special, that's great, that's what you want. I'm a fucking massive asshole, let me tell you some stories about that, that's great, I'll watch that for 44 minutes musical interlude. But it's when you go, the world sucks because everyone's like me. It's like, they're not. You just suck, Rob.
I think this, that he belongs to a very unique subset of American comedians of a certain generation, which includes Rob Schneider, includes Adam Sandler, includes Ray Romano. It's these intelligent men who are deeply sensitive and I'd say artistic, struggling with the fact that they are self-aware at their own unimportance in this universe and their own kind of failures as a human, but they cannot resist the compulsion to fall into the same patterns of this material and of that world. And so, like, it's like Adam Sandler is a person who will do Don't Mess with the Zohan, but also do like Punch Drunk Love, and it's like he has it in him, he has this awareness and this artistic sensibility within him, but then he can't resist the compulsion to then do this other thing. It's like a weird Jekyll and Hyde thing.
Sandler has an economic imperative. He is providing for a huge number of people who he's brought
this
along
is
for
true.
The ride.
But Rob Schneider is the same, I think, maybe.
Rob Schneider's not providing for anyone.
A family.
Barely.
I think what it's important to understand is that Guy and I figured out that Rob Schneider is not getting paid for his specials on Netflix. He's dropping the special off with a bag of money to an executive that he found to like get it on the platform in the back door.
But that, I respect that, kind of, because he's a man who is like desperate to have his art seen. And like, you know, like to what lengths? Like, I don't respect it like on the whole, but I perhaps respect it more than people who have been given the opportunity to like, you know, I don't know. There's some pathetic aspect of that that I go, fuck, man. All right. He needs to get some of this out.
Okay, you're calling his art. He needs to get it out. I understand that.
I love where Rose is at.
I want you to imagine watching this material either by Rob Schneider or some nameless comedian of his age at a live show. They could have a British accent, they could have a New Zealand accent, they could have an American accent. I want you to imagine this material being performed at a show you're on, and you're like, I haven't seen this person, I'm going to engage, I'll watch it. I want you to visualize being in your body at that gig and tell me what your response is.
Oh, it's that this is horrific. But Guy, I think you forget, like, this is our day-to-day experience with all stand-up comedy. There is barely anything that differentiates Rob Schneider's material and what he was doing on stage to some of the stand-up comedians that we know well, we've known for years. We would actually go as far to say they're friends or acquaintances. Do you know what I mean? Like, you put yourself in that position. If that wasn't Rob Schneider, that could be any person that you are perhaps were chummy with in a green room. And there's like, I think that there, I mean, his material is shocking.
What are you saying is that we're overwhelmed by bad comedy?
Yes, absolutely.
But you, can you, you not know, control that as you move up through the like, you know, as you spend more time and you can kind of curate who you perform with and who you perform around? Can you not?
Oh my God, please think of the lineups that you're on all the time. And you would not endorse every comedian with who you're, you share a lineup with.
Yeah.
But the percentages are moving towards that.
Yeah, sure.
I have a very...
Rose is a comedy auteur.
I'm not a comedy auteur. I'm a comedy like
truther.
No, I have so much. Well, you know this. I have so much. Really, and it's a problem. Love for pathetic men.
True.
And a lot of aroha. a lot of aroha for pathetic men. Because I think that, because I fundamentally believe women are better than men, yes. So that a pathetic man is the most pathetic you can get. Do you know what I mean? Like, a pathetic man is so much more tragic than a pathetic woman.
Yes, I do believe that, yes.
And so it's this utter pity that I think, and especially in stand-up,
my heart,
you know,
breaks for male stand-up comedians.
When they're failing because they've got everything on their side. When they're failing this hard, you're like, you had everything. Well, and you blew it.
That's what I think. That's why like some people, that's why like men don't want to recognize their own like privilege, because to admit that you had privilege admits that you had everything going for you and you still came up short.
100%.
Yeah.
It's so a scary position to be in.
Can we talk about L King?
Yeah.
And what were your thoughts on it? We loved it. We loved it.
Highlight of the show.
Did you like it for the flow of the special? Did you feel like it made sense?
I thought it was the natural ending, the natural culmination of all of the material we'd heard preceding it, where he hates his wife, he hates his kids, he hates his family, he's ugly, he never gets laid. So what that means is, let's hear a beautiful song from him and his daughter.
from a failed marriage. Yeah. His grown daughter, who still loves him despite it all. Like, I felt like his daughter watching that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I thought it was actually a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And I wondered how much she got paid.
And that's a really good question.
True.
Guy and I were we chat live as we watch on this, like, add-on thing. And we were struck on the point today that you can tell that those two have been through a lot. And the fact that Al is only 1 year younger, or maybe less than his current wife, who he has two kids with.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah. And I feel like you can see that on stage. Like, you can read relationship and the heritage and the layers and the interventions and the, like, running away and the coming together. And
there's not layers.
Wife doesn't touch Al King when she
there's
comes
not
on.
A lot of physical comfortability or affection between them at all.
She actually reaches across Al to hug Rob and get the mic and say hello, and it's real frosty between those two. But then Al does love her step siblings, I think.
Yeah, yes, I think she's
really
got a
lot
does.
Of love for them. Yeah.
I think Al's a decent person. I'd say that we can
also,
all take
Also, do you know what was really,
us?
Really beautiful was, I think the oldest daughter's Miranda, is that right? The 7-year-old? She gives Rob such a tight hug. Like, she is so proud of her dad for having done this thing. I could really feel
it. A lot of people have turned up to see him do this comedy show, and they're having a bloody good time.
This was recorded moments before. Like, this was recorded while COVID-19 was impacting the world, but moments before that sort of mass gathering was not just, like, immoral, but illegal.
In the state of Utah.
Wow. It's recorded in Utah?
Salt Lake City, baby.
The comedy capital. The comedy capital. They bloody love that he had three wives in Utah.
He's only got two.
No, they only like it if you have them. They only like it if you have them simultaneously, Ellen.
True. Huge mistake on my behalf.
Not sequentially. Take that, fundamentalist Mormons. Not other Mormons.
We're gonna need to wrap this up. I'm so sorry to say.
That's totally fine.
I would love to get final closing thoughts and ratings.
Okay, final thoughts and ratings. You want to go first, Alice?
Yeah, final thoughts. I reckon, as a rule of thumb, in any comedy bit or special, if you have to tell the audience why a joke is not racist, odds are the joke is racist. So that's just one of my final thoughts. And a rating, I'm gonna give it. I'm gonna give it out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give it 3 Rob Schneiders.
Okay.
Thanks, Alice. Counterpoint though, before Rose goes, mm-hmm. What if it isn't racist and it is accurate though?
Hadn't thought about that.
Well, then we find
you?
Ourselves in an intellectual pickle.
Quite the quandary. Sorry, Rose.
I am going to give it a very generous 4 out of 10, even though I zoned out for most of the special. Because I believe that, I mean, very rarely I think any stand-up specials are 10 out of 10. Mm. And I know that he has sadness yeah. in his heart.
That's so true.
I feel like it's punching down, do you know what I mean, on Rob Schneider, because he's not.
Yeah,
that is the question that we haven't asked this season, but we do on every Overlooked and Undercooked, is are we punching down onto Rob Schneider? So it's amazing that you bring that up.
I feel like we're punching down onto Rob Schneider. This is his space, obviously done it illegally in COVID times, but like, he's just putting something out there and some of it's absolutely shit and absolutely like the wrong take on stuff. But also, look, I just don't think, I think I like Rob Schneider.
Imagine being a part of the Rob Schneider cluster.
I'll give it half a star out of 5 again. Tim, Jesus.
So 1 out of 10.
I just want to thank so much our two guests for coming on. It is it's always so much fun to hang out with Rose and Alice, and we had planned to do it in a more fun way where we were going to go do karaoke. It was going to be real fun,
no,
and then
God.
Lockdown fucked us, and it's been
lockdown
robbed away from me.
Us.
But I've also really enjoyed like the humanity that Rose has extended, and it's honestly filled my heart with a different perspective on Rob and like people of Rob's ilk. And I think it's a very like kindness forward approach.
Yeah, that's so nice. I will just say though, when you have two guests on a show, I wouldn't single out one for enjoying what they've brought to the podcast. I would try and give compliments that apply to both of them.
Guy was about to say something, so you just ruined your show.
I was just going to support Tim's point. It's been a real pleasure having Rose on. We have, at the conclusion of these, we have been recommending alternative comedy specials that people should watch instead of this. We actually forgot to on the last couple of episodes. Rose, you've had a shout out, but Alice, I've been really enjoying. Alice has got a fantastic show. It's available internationally on YouTube. It's called Alice Nen's Bad News. She takes big topics and somehow, can you imagine this? She makes them fun and funny while also being informative.
Oh my God, get fucked.
So please check
that
out.
It is fucking sensational.
Thank you.
It's such a good show.
So much for listening. Two more episodes to go. Love to everyone. Stay safe.
My advice, give up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.